Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I won't commit it to the uncommitted. The things thou heard of me, Paul said, commit unto faithful men. Why? So they might teach others also. We need faithfulness in terms of commitment. That's what he's looking for when he comes back. Shall I find fidelity? Shall I find the faith intact and people faithful to the faith? So he said, Peter, you're going to die. And you're going to die a death that you would not choose if you had the choice, but you're going to defer to my will and purpose. That's the kind of man you're going to be. And that's what he told this vacillating man that was running scared and denied him. When this man fell in love with him, it all changed. Jesus could tell him straight up, you'll die a martyr's death. And Peter said, that's okay. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Paul, he didn't tell him, oh, you're going to be one of the greatest preachers ever was. You'll be renowned. You'll have groupies all over the place just wanting your tapes. He showed him, after he healed him and opened his eyes, the great things that he would suffer for Christ's sake. See, that's not in the Christian vocabulary in a fleshly oriented gospel. If it's inconvenient, if it costs me anything, I'm only in it for what I get out of it. I'm not in it to give. I'm not in it to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I only want to know the power of his resurrection. But the problem is, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. True spiritual fruit doesn't come until it dies and that husk falls off. That old husk of flesh falls off. And then what's inside begins to come out into the outside. Can you say amen? But that husk don't come off until it falls to the ground and seemingly dies. The life comes out of that death of every seed. The seed has to die for the life to come forth. And we have to do the same in terms of dying to self. By the way, the tension in your life didn't come from God. Amen. God gives you peace, joy. Hallelujah. That tension comes when the flesh and the spirit are in conflict. Amen. So the quicker we crucify the flesh, the quicker we find that place of rest and peace. There's a release in this. This doesn't put you in a box. This sets you free from a prison. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know this is a little hard on the flesh, but that's the problem is our flesh. If we don't get hard on the flesh, we will never know him in the true power of his resurrection. Amen. When you deny yourself and take up your cross and come to follow me, you will find sweet release. You will not find a burden. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, saith God. And yea, you will find the joy of the Lord. And you will find the strength you need for life, saith God. Enter in. Draw not back. Yea, saith God, for this is a death that brings forth new life, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise tonight. Glory to God. I want us to pray together. There are people really suffering for Jesus. You think you're suffering. I think I'm suffering. I got it easy preaching in Tampa. I'm called to Tampa. Hallelujah. And I'm called to you folks. So I've got a pretty good job before me tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I do not expect tonight to be put in jail for preaching what I'm about to preach. I do not expect to be beaten. I do not expect to have to drink my own urine, and I do not expect, amen, to possibly be killed. I don't expect that tonight. But I would like to think if those threats were hanging above me, that I would stand behind this pulpit and declare what I'm declaring tonight. Men and women have died to give us a faith intact so that the faith could be passed down pure to us. It has cost the blood of every martyr that's ever shed his blood or her blood so we could have a pure gospel tonight. I am not at liberty before God and before them, amen, to sell out this gospel. I am not at liberty to do that, no matter what circumstance I'm in, what heat it brings. I'm not at liberty. I don't have the option. I have it in terms of disobedience, but I can't. I will not preach if I cannot preach the truth from this pulpit. I would rather not preach at all than preach something less than what than the whole counsel of God tonight. This is a death that brings life. It's that simple. And we're not preaching this death anymore. Paul said, I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. But yet I made a wonderful discovery. It's no more I, the old man that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. And he was so excited about the life that came out of his demise. Can you say amen? Though the outward man perish, woo, the inward man, that kernel, that seed, hallelujah, is renewed day by day. Crucify the flesh. Put it to death with the lust thereof. Why? Because there's freedom and life when Jesus lives through us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're drawing back from the very thing that would set us free tonight. And bring true revival tonight. And bring a devotion and a commitment. I just came out of marriage counseling. We're talking about devotion and commitment. The strength of commitment. It holds when emotions and everything else, amen, is pushed to the limits. Commitment holds. Amen. Hallelujah. And when Christians, out of devotion, begin to truly commit their lives to Jesus Christ, amen, then the anchor's going to hold in the time of storm. You'll outlast the storm. Hallelujah. I'm a living, breathing example of that. Praise God. God is so good. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for a building fund that's went from 10,000 to 9,000 to 8,000 this very day. We want to thank you and we want to praise you that this place is almost paid for so we can begin to build or buy, whichever you choose for us. But we'll have the wherewithal to work with. Father, we want to thank you for what you've done in this humble setting through faithful people. We give you the praise right now. Lord, we have a vision. It's a common vision. The word is going out of these walls in extraordinary ways. I am so happy to hear it. I expected it. I am not surprised. But every time you move, I'm amazed. And I'm amazed tonight at what you're doing by your grace and your love. Father, you're a wonderful Father, a wonderful Savior, a wonderful provider. And we enjoy serving you. And we anticipate doing the work for your kingdom. And we anticipate the enemy fighting. We understand what goes along with it. But we anticipate your victories. We anticipate you coming through. We anticipate rising up above the enemy, Father, in the name of Jesus, and accomplishing that you've set before us. We're excited about being in full-time ministry again. We're excited about seeing souls saved. We're excited about the breakthrough. You did not sit us here and set us here to twiddle our thumbs and sit back on our leaves. You set us here because you've got a purpose and a work to be accomplished. We have that vision. We're here by divine appointment. Nothing happened of man to get us here. You set it up. You orchestrated it. You moved what needed to be moved and opened what needed to be opened. And what we have here is something that you called an open door. Something you opened in the spirit realm that we walked through by faith to get the job done. And you said something about that open door in the face of great persecution and obstacles. I set before thee an open door. And no man can shut it. So, Father, we declare like those Christians in China, it's too late to kill the baby in the manger. Because he's not a baby, and he's not in the manger, and he's not a man on the cross, but he's seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise for victory tonight. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, and amen, and amen. Glory to God. You may be seated for a little while this evening. I preach a lot about trials and testings and things of that nature because I've been tried and I've been tested. Every candid preacher that opens his heart and life that's worth his salt will tell you about his trials or her trials and their testings. There's no one out there carrying the gospel that hasn't went through persecution and hasn't went through personal struggles in their life. Not a person anywhere. The only way to come into a full-blown ministry is to suffer with him. That you might reign with him, to die the death that brings forth his life. And the only way for that to happen is to come to an end of yourself, where the flesh absolutely you recognize as of no use. And in fact, on top of that, it becomes an actual hindrance to you. Can you say amen? If you don't come to that place, you'll never know the rest of it. What we call resurrection power doesn't last very long when the storms come and the tests come. I see people blow it constantly with great blessings before they blow it. And believe me, that's not representative of what raised Jesus from the dead. How many know that's not representative of what raised Jesus from the dead? Does anybody understand that there's got to be more than just this hit-miss thing? Sometimes up, sometimes down. Amen. What raised Jesus from the dead is a lot more powerful than our flaky emotions, which are so subject to defeat and depression. I'm subject to defeat. I'm subject to discouragement. I'm subject to depression. And guess what? So are you. Amen? But there is a life in Jesus, and it's a powerful life. It actually transcends these other. I'm not telling you can live above feeling these things. I'm telling you there's a victory in the Lord. There's a joy in the Lord that can become your strength. And it's real. It's not something you have to work up. It's not something you have to pray down. It's something that comes through a right relationship with God that represents being committed enough to Him. Amen. To lay down your life so that you can have His life flow through you, to you and through you. That's the real life that He came to talk about. And He talked about if you don't eat of His flesh and don't drink of His blood, you can't be His follower. And man, when He starts using these kind of analogies, people begin to back off. And they back so far off of Jesus about that intimacy and spiritual fellowship that His 12 were looking at Him kind of funny. And He looked back at His 12 and said, are you going to leave me too? See, He's not going to lower the standard. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He's not going to lower the bar. Amen. If He lowers the bar, He accommodates the flesh. If He accommodates the flesh, He aids and abets the devil in using that weak part of us and against His work in and through our lives. How many know you got weak flesh? I got weak flesh. Paul said, I don't have any confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. He actually says to mortify your members upon the earth. Amen. To put to death. It's incredible. You find death all throughout the Bible concerning your old nature, your old flesh man. It's throughout the entire Scripture. And until that death takes place, believe me, that life can never be lived. No one can live that life without that death. Nobody does. Taking up your cross means putting to death the will, the egotism, the all of the flesh stuff. Otherwise, the enemy's got a clear target. He's got an accomplice against you. Amen? How many know the flesh is Satan's accomplice? Always going to be in the devil's corner. There'll never be a time when the devil prompts you to anger that your flesh won't say, yeah. Your flesh is not going to be. And if it says no, it'll be some kind of pious, false righteousness. It won't be the real deal. Deep in your heart, it'll still churn. Amen. You know God knows what's in our heart tonight, not just what we say, what we do, but what's churning down on the inside of us. He knows exactly what's going on. Amen. Ditter said, I don't want to sit up front because He'll be looking right at me. Amen. Well, God's looking right at all of us tonight. Can you say amen? One thing is for sure, if you're pastored for over 30 years, I've seen these grand starts out of the gate. I've seen so many people bust out. Remember when you busted out of the gate? Amen. You thought this was a 100-yard dash. You thought it was a wind sprint. And you busted out of the gate and tore off running for Jesus. And you found out it's an endurance race. Amen. It's not how fast you get there. It's the fact that you do get there. Amen. That you endure. Can you say, man? God uses military terms in that. He gets real militant about it. He said, they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He talked about enduring. Amen. Hardness. Hardness. Yeah. Amen. Enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Talked about making no provision for the flesh, not any occasion for it. Don't pamper it. Don't give place to it. Amen. And at first, when you read it, it almost looks fatalistic. Like, well, how am I going to have anything in life? Well, there's a life in Jesus, folks, that enhances everything else in your life. Amen. Everything is enhanced. I mean, I came out of a service recently. It was just so joyous, and I felt so much joy down in my heart, down in my soul. And I've been down to the bottom. I've been down to where I couldn't, you know, in an emotional state, and nervous exhaustion was my diagnosis by a spirit-filled doctor who had the option of giving me some heavy-duty chemical prescriptions or else praying with me. He said, which route? He says, this can help you till God heals you, or you can just go to God. What do you want to do? And we're sitting there. Last man that he saw in his office, last patient, before he gave the rest of his life to African inland missions. Left a good practice here in Tampa to go to an outpost in Africa and serve people who can't pay him back. Believe me, that man is not going to retire to the Bahamas at 50. He was 50 already, headed for Africa. But I'm going to tell you something about this guy. He had joy. And he had peace. And he had an excitement and an enthusiasm that a lot of people, just trying to not die that death, trying to avoid that death at all cost, amen, don't enjoy. I appreciated his joy, and I appreciated him giving me the option. And I appreciate a praying doctor. I mean a real, honest-to-goodness praying doctor. So we sit there together, and he kind of indicated if you go the route that's non-chemical, you may have some struggles, but if you want to pray and trust God, I can write you a prescription. Or I can join you in prayer. My wife can tell you it was a struggle. I had a struggle. I mean, it's kind of like ladies going into labor that says, you know, I'm going to have a natural childbirth. And some people have an easy delivery and it's a piece of cake and they love it, you know. And then there's other people that say, I'll take anything you got to stop the pain. Amen. And I'll tell you, there was a point in my trials when I was ready. Doc, if I could, he was going to Africa, you know. But I thought, boy, if I could take one of these. I remember going to the, and I'll cover this. We may not get into this scripture tonight. We may just go down the road God has us on. Amen. And just touch some things and let me talk out of my heart. Kind of preach off the cuff tonight. How many know I can preach with or without my outline? Holy Spirit has to do most of it anyway. He's way better than any outline I've ever put together. Praise the Lord. But I remember going to the Omni to a meeting in Atlanta, and I remember I was going through a terrible nervous exhaustion, terrible, terrible things, indescribable things that I wish on no one. I wanted to go to heaven. I thought, man, I envied people in wheelchairs. I envied people in the sense of I would trade places with them to have the peace and enjoyment. If they can eat that meal, I'd see them in a mall loading up their plate, you know, at the food court and maybe getting ready to go into a movie. And I thought, you know, they're incapacitated, but they're enjoying life. Here I am, you know, I go to a gym and I work out. You know, and I'm taking my vitamins, and I'm down to my 40 regular suit, and looking good in my clothes. And just to look at me, you'd think, you know, I'm buff, and I'm anointed, and I preach under the anointing. I got it all together. And in reality, I was going through a struggle that no one but me and God could really appreciate. My wife went through it before me. Amen. You'd be amazed how many ministers burn out simply because we pour out and we don't drink in that fellowship relationship. I never want to come here just depending on the anointing alone. I want to come here full, out of a full relationship with Christ, and I want to share out of that fullness with you. Amen. It's not enough just to be anointed. You need a real, fulfilling relationship with Jesus. Amen. You need that. Everybody that's got that, you've got a treasure. And I had a relationship with the Lord, but it was more in terms of helping me to reach people, helping me to preach on the radio, helping me to do missions, helping me with my radio ministry, just helping me juggle all this stuff and do all of this stuff. But in that quiet time of just being personal with Him, amen, that's what was missing, that real intimacy with God, amen. And I went through it. I didn't eat right. I didn't sleep right. I didn't pray right. My prayers were quick prayers, because I had so much to do, I'd take one of those compressed little prayers, throw it out there, and then take off for God. Just too busy to go up into the mountain like Jesus did. Isn't that incredible? We can't find the time to do what the Son of God did as an example for us. If Jesus went up into that mountain, you need to go sometime. Yes, sir. And be alone with God. Amen. And rest in the Lord. There's a place, I forget where it was, it's not Christian Retreat, but it's similar to that in its concept. And ministers go there a lot of times. And you know what their therapy is for ministers that are burning at both ends, to get them closer to God and get them back into their personal walk? It's not just about your body alone, it's about your personal walk. I mean, it's a forest place. They haven't turned it into some big Disneyland wannabe. They've left the natural beauty there. There's paths where there's no payphones and probably your cell phone won't work, and you leave your laptop at home. Amen? Hallelujah. And you just get out into nature and just walk around and breathe some fresh air and realize there's a God that sits in his heaven that looks over the universe and looks over this earth. The message of the sovereignty of God is a powerful message, because that means there's somebody in control of this thing. Amen? Paul had to know that, and we need to know that. God is, in fact, in control, even when it looks like everything is out of control. If you trust him through that, you can understand how that he can bring life out of death. These are lessons you can't learn by listening to this tape. But hopefully, if you listen to this, you might learn it in your life down the road somewhere. I don't know where we'll go. We'll find somewhere. We might go back there. Hallelujah. Amen. The Apostle Paul talked about troubles. James talked about troubles. The early church was a heavily persecuted church. If they didn't have a joy and a peace that would take them through that to strengthen them, there's no possible way to survive the onslaught of angst from a culture and a society that was so anti-God and anti-Christ in particular. They prayed, amen, not for an escape from the persecution, but for God to move in even a more vivid and mighty way when they were persecuted. They actually prayed for manifestations of the Spirit to come to confirm the gospel, amen, in a greater degree than you'd seen them before. I fully expect testimonies coming out of China of mighty miracles and mighty movings of the Spirit of God, simply because that's how God reacts and responds when his church is persecuted. Amen. Hallelujah. It happens that way. Oh, if you don't want to see miracles, then stay as far as you can from persecution. If you don't want angelic deliverance, don't ever get down in a jail cell sitting in stocks being held over, amen, to be killed. But if you want to see God show up and show out, amen, just follow him no matter what. Hallelujah. And keep your trust in him. Amen. Or you can go ahead and give him a hand. It's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can get rid of this melancholy attitude because of the pressure that's on us and learn to embrace some of these things that we're running from. Amen. And trust that God can work through them. And whatever hurts and helps me to put my flesh to death, that tears away my confidence in myself, enhances my confidence in my God. I love the way Dale put it after we're beginning to grow in the Lord a while, and we didn't just come to church to shout only, but to really be able to stand. How many know shouting is one thing and standing is entirely another? And Dale made a statement that thrilled my soul because I knew it was working. She said, the things that used to put us on our back now put us on our face. Whatever brings us on our face before God is something God will use in a positive way in your life. Whatever knocks you for a loop to where you quit trusting God, the devil has achieved a victory in your life. The same trial can pivot you one way or pivot you the other. Can you say amen? So God wants us to understand there's no escaping the trials. So why don't we embrace some of these things and let them bring us into a positive result? Amen. If my flesh suffers, it's going to help me not to have confidence in it. And if I don't have confidence in it, then the flesh is not going to be the part of me that's most influential. I'm going to depend way more on the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be able to move through my heart. He's going to be able to move through my life. I thought if I got to the best evangelists, the most anointed people, God would pop my problem away instead of take me through a healing process where he taught me patience and he taught me about grace and he taught me about his presence. I do not stand back in awe of any person today, regardless of their gifts, callings, anointings, or revelations. You know why? Because I know how weak flesh is. And I know if you pull that anointing off that person, you got a hunk of mud. Amen. You're nothing without him, and neither is anyone else. And if it wasn't for spiritual gifts granted, none of these dynamic speakers and people could accomplish anything. They're doing that by gift, amen, not by something about their own character that's so wonderful. Amen. God chooses who he will choose. And he gives gifts according as he wills. We're to covet the best ones, those most appropriate for what we understand to be our callings. But ultimately, God is the one who decides. God makes those decisions. Severally as he wills. It's not for us to say, I want that because everybody loves that person and I want what they... No, just bow before the Lord. And wait upon the Lord. And let him do what he wants to do in your life. Oh, I'm glad I'm not fighting. Amen. Trying to make God do anything. And I'm not fighting, trying to make something happen. Amen. I love flowing better than fighting. Amen. My fight is with my flesh. It's not with God anymore. Or it's not even with myself. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the Lord tonight. I tell you, I believe God's going to bless us, and I believe it's going to come in a flowing. I believe this ministry is going to go forward, but I believe it's going to be in a flow of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be in some kind of tension-ridden thing that gives you a nervous breakdown. I look back on how did I get where I ended up. Christians with His peace reigning are not supposed to have nervous exhaustion. You're not supposed to get there. Amen. It was embarrassing. On top of everything else, it was an embarrassment to me to have to admit I was in this state. But I learned some lessons that I would have never learned. God used what the devil meant for evil, what my own foolishness brought on me. God used it. And He used it in a powerful way. I know Him better through the trial than I would have ever known Him if the trial had never come. Amen. Job knew God different. Moses knew God differently, more intimately. They saw His miracles. That's all they cared about. Amen. As long as He'd give a man and open the seas for them, give them a cloud to shade them, they didn't care about knowing anything further than God meeting their needs and God doing the miraculous. Can you say amen? Bible said that Israel knew His wonders. But Moses, who almost wanted to die at one time. Amen. Amen. He asked the Lord to take him. He said, the pressure is so overwhelming. I can't take it anymore. I mean, I got 3 million people out here, close to 3 million, 2.5 to 3 million. Somebody's goat ate somebody's wash when they hung it out on the line. And they want restitution. And they're going to be here at 6 a.m. And they're going to be hopping mad. Oh, and when I look over their shoulder, there's a long line of people. Amen, with all of their issues. And they're coming to me with every one of them. And I want you to take me home, lest I literally fall apart before them and perish. He prayed that prayer. He prayed to die. Just take me home. Amen. And his father-in-law heard him praying that prayer. He says, you don't have to die. You don't have to take this all on your shoulder. I'm going to raise up 70 men. Now, I love this distribution of the anointing for the same vision and the same purpose. Well, that's when you got a church, not a bunch of people going in different directions with titles, but everybody flowing in the same flow for the same purpose. By the way, only the Holy Ghost can do that. Amen. Nobody else can pull it off but God. And nobody else can let Him but us. And we have to cooperate with Him. But if He has His way, you ever sung that song? Have thine own. Boy, I used to sit back and listen to a congregation sing that and say, my Lord in heaven, what a loaded song. What would happen if everybody in this room really let God have His own way? Amen. Isn't it easy to sing that? Isn't that a precious sentiment? Don't you feel kind of soft as you sing it? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the softened, moldable clay, just waiting for His hands to work in my life. Wow. Do you realize that will take all the faith you got and all the commitment you got and a devotion that goes far beyond just showing up to get in the healing line? Can you say amen? God can never have His way until His way is the only way that we want in our life. And His will is the only will we want in our life. But boy, when we come to that place and we feel that God is having His way, isn't it? Has anyone felt exhilaration of knowing on this day, God, not me, but God had His way? Has anybody ever missed it?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Use that. Don't get discouraged. Use it to help you not put confidence in the flesh. You know what's always been amazing to me is how much of me is still alive when I think so much of me is dead. And I know a lot more of me is dying because I know I'm reacting differently to things that used to really blow a gasket, you know. There were two disciples called the Sons of Thunder. They had short fuses. Can you say amen? They had hot tempers. Amen. Peter had a hot temper, didn't he? Amen. They came to get Jesus, and he's going to pull his sword, and he's going to fight, and he cut off a man's ear. Believe me, he didn't aim for the ear. Amen. He aimed for the head. He was going to lob his head clean off, but the guy dodged, and he made a glancing blow and just took his ear off. Isn't it great when Jesus said, put your sword up? Isn't it great when Jesus heals the man, amen, that is perceived to be such a hurt to him? Don't you think it was a surprise, an amazing surprise, when they saw the real power of the gospel and they knew that the cross was not a defeat for Jesus, and that Satan had not prevailed, and Caesar had not prevailed, and the Sanhedrin had not prevailed, and the enemies of the cross had not prevailed, that death turned loose the life that could save so many. Can you say amen? What a revelation it must have been when they understood, amen, that it was God's will that he go to that cross so he could die that death to bring forth this life to the world. Christians need to grasp the same concept. It's in dying that you truly live. If you don't die to self, you'll never know that life. Paul said, it's not I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. And where he came to an end of himself was in a place called Asia under persecution. When you have great gifts operating, you get this kind of God complex and you think you can handle anything and everything. But you get under persecution, heavy persecution, over a long period of time. And it begins to separate, amen, all that egotism and all of that confidence in the flesh from you. And you'll distance from it because you'll discover how weak you really are. You'll discover the power of grace, and you'll discover your own frailties through those kind of things. Amen. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Woman misquoted that scripture, thought she was doing pretty good because two suitors were after her. They were in their 80s, and she was 70, so they were after the younger woman at church, and she was widowed. And two men were always kind of coming on to her on Sunday, and she said, I have a message for the two men that have been wanting to court me. And she said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Well, that's not actually what the scripture said. It said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Concerning the trial that came to try us in the province of Asia. How we were pressed beyond measure. Everybody say beyond human endurance. Remember, this same man is going to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But until we come to an end of ourselves, we'll never discover that strength. It's okay to come to an end of yourself. In fact, God has designed your life to bring you at some point to an end of yourself. Because the quicker you and I get there, the quicker His life can come through us. There's no blending of His and yours. He don't come to help you and just lift you up so you can stand. Because that's a blend of your flesh and His spirit. He doesn't want to be your flesh and His spirit. You know why? Because there's something the devil can still defeat you with, and it's called your flesh. He wants it to be His spirit. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Your flesh can't take much. Mine can't take much. Christ's strength in me, that's a whole other story. But as long as I'm leaning on any of me, that strength is not going to be discovered and realized and utilized in my life. It just won't happen. But it happened with Paul. He had this experience to bring him to an end of himself with all of his gifts, all of his anointings, and all of his revelations. He still had to learn this lesson. Isn't that incredible? People with his kind of gifts, his kind of experiences, his kind of revelations, you'd think he wouldn't need anything else. He's got it all. Most of us are not after an experience that brings us to an end of ourselves so we can know his life. Most of us are after what Paul already had. He said, I know a man, whether in the body or out, such a one was caught up into third heavens and saw unutterable things. Paul got taken into the very presence of God in heaven and then put back upon this earth. And it wasn't a near-death experience. God just took him up there and then put him back down here. Wow. That didn't happen while he was being stoned or anything. Amen? Isn't that incredible? Or he was stoned. He wasn't stoned when that happened. Did you say amen? God just did it. Man, Paul preached and he saw miracles happen. Paul saw Jesus, amen, on the road to Damascus, and Jesus spoke to him in an audible voice. He said he heard it in the language of his day. So God used the language of his day to speak to him. So his call was audible. My Lord, Paul was struck blind by the glory of this presence and was laid hands on and healed by one of those Christians he was on the way to persecute. And those blind eyes came open. Amen. Hallelujah. He was miraculously healed, miraculously transported to heaven. He said, I speak in tongues more than anybody. Man, he had the gifts of the Spirit flowing in his life. He said, I'm an apostle and I'm not a man-made one either. Have you ever met one of those man-made self-proclaimed apostles? Guy showed up at the door of our church one time and said, I'm an apostle. I said, you know, I was trying to be nice and congenial. And he seen that I wasn't too impressed with his declaration, so he pulled out. Listen, if you're an apostle, there's something called the marks of an apostle. You know what the marks of an apostle are? Because everybody looks up to you and you're a spiritual big shot. No, because you're so devoted to Jesus and living such a godly life that you're bearing up under persecution. The real sent ones, all hell breaks loose against them. An emissary was sent from hell to buffet Paul because he was the real deal, honey. That's why Demas didn't follow him very far. Amen. Because he found out he wasn't going to stay every night in the Conrad Hilton and he wasn't going to dine every night on prime rib. Sometime he was going to sit in a Roman prison after a beating. And he said, you know something? I don't need this. I didn't get in ministry for this. Amen. I got in ministry for other reasons. And Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. Send me John Mark. He knows Jesus and he loves him. Send me the man I had a problem with, but not in the area of our devotion to Jesus. Can you say amen? Send me John Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. When people try to juggle the love of this world and love for Christ, you're going to be pushed to make a decision. Amen. And Satan will help you. He'll push hard. Amen. And your flesh will want to agree with him. And I'm going to encourage you tonight, amen, to learn how to say no to the devil and find true life in Jesus. Don't just be a churchgoer that's always caught in between that tension and really loving and serving God and just letting your flesh have its way. And there's always that tension within, that friction that's going on. Amen. There's a flowing in the Lord. Amen. Jesus was not a fatalistic man. He wasn't a man without a gleam in his eye. For the joy, listen, he died a death to self in the sense of his own will in the garden. Amen. There was a pressure on him, and he sweat became as great drops of blood when the sweat glands and the little blood vessels beneath the skin, the stress was so on him that the blood mingled with the sweat and came out, and his sweat looked like droplets of blood. They were pink with that blood mixed with it. Amen. He needed human companionship. He needed people in the human realm because he had emotions. He came down in one of these bodies and he said, listen, for the spiritual elite that think they're islands unto themselves, they're wrong. Those kind of men and women will fail. They will fall. Jimmy Swaggart needed an armor bearer. Come on, are you listening to me tonight? Amen. Nobody stands out there alone. Nobody, but nobody. We are integrated. We are interlaced. Amen. We are not designed to stand alone. We're designed to stand as a body and to function as a body. And if you try to function outside that body, you're putting yourself in harm's way. I need your encouragement and you need mine. I don't just come here to preach. Amen. I come here to be encouraged. I come here to hear Dale's testimony this morning. Did you hear that? Wasn't that happy tidings of good joy? I hear some of you talking about what God brought you through. I read some of your testimonies and I just rose up in my heart and in my faith. And I said, I didn't know that about him and I didn't know that about them, but look what God has done in that life. Look what God is doing in that life. This is a two-way street that's going on here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to be a blessing to you and you can be a blessing to me and I can build you up and you can build me up. And when the body really comes into what it's supposed to be, we build each other up. And every gift and every anointing and everything we do in concerning each other is to the building up of the body. Hallelujah. Thank God, I'm 59, but I'm still bodybuilding. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Are you bodybuilding? Amen. We're supposed to be everything. I mean, every bit of it is to build up this body and make it strong. You know what we are? We're not going to get a building here. We are the building.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get a roof for the building to go in under. But we're the building. You are a building. Fitly framed together. For what? For a habitation of God through His Spirit. Wow. Church is just supposed to be God all over the place. God in the midst. Great message of the Holy Ghost is God in the midst. God in the midst. God in the midst. Why do we keep running from what brings us to an end of ourselves? Paul said, here's these credentials. I'm a Jew of the Jews. If I have reason to boast. And he used to boast in these things. He had these secret pride issues. And lest I be lifted up above measure. You can see his. When you can't be a part of the Sanhedrin, not be given to that. Do you know pride will keep you from humbling yourself before the Lord tonight? It'll keep God at a distance from you. God still resists the proud. And he still gives grace to the humble. Can you say amen? Everybody say, God still resists the proud. But he still gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Way up with God is still down. The way to his life is still death to self. But there's a joy in it. There's a release in it. There's a power in it. So the Apostle Paul said, I'm a Jew of the Jews, circumcised the eighth day according to the law, the tribe of Benjamin, sits in the Sanhedrin. He has great spiritual, religious credentials. First martyr that's killed for the sake of the gospel. The young man is standing there holding the cloak and the authorization papers from the Sanhedrin. So that those that were killing him thought they were doing God a service. That's Saul of Tarsus. And he said, you know, I have a tendency to glory in these credentials of mine. But I count it all but dung that I might know Jesus Christ. And he's talking about knowing him how? In the fellowship of his sufferings, that he might know him. Because there's no intimacy with him outside of that. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. For the servant is not greater than his master. Can you say amen? God will never water it down. He will never lower the bar. Can you say amen? Because he knows release will never come as long as we make occasion for the flesh. Every message will be designed to nail you and me to the cross. Thank you for the hearty amen. Not to hurt us, but to help us to get free. Amen. How many would like to conquer anger? Boy, I'd love to conquer anger. I don't think I'll ever not have the capacity to get it. I don't think I can come to the place of hyper sanctification, super sanctification, that something can't make me mad. Some politicians make me mad. In fact, almost all of them do. I know they make Ruth mad. All of, well, I won't even name them. Anyway, we'll move right along from that. Amen. Some preachers make me mad.
Amen.
If I ain't paid for much for it, the Discovery Channel makes me want to kick the television. And the History Channel. They talk about a Jesus they don't know nothing about. Can you say amen? They don't know beans about it. They got Dr. Fahrenheit. He's got so many degrees, they call him Dr. Fahrenheit. Amen. He's got a degree in theology from some school that don't even believe that God exists. Maybe he does, maybe he don't. Amen. A lot of these cemeteries or seminaries that they call them used to have a vivid faith, and they don't have it anymore. They almost lost the Southern Baptist Convention teaching, amen, because they had a whole bunch of, not the convention itself, but the faith that they try to hang on to up there, amen, because they had a bunch of professors in their Bible colleges that didn't even believe in the resurrection, and they didn't believe in the virgin birth. But you're getting a well-rounded education. No, you're getting heresy. Period. Can you say, man, that's heresy. You don't teach heresy to give you a well-rounded education. preachers coming out of college that don't even know the God of Jeshurun. Hallelujah. And the God of the Bible and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Amen. But listen, folks, this is the deal. Everywhere you go, you're looking for something that will always accommodate the flesh. God's message always says there's a death to die. If you're not willing to die the death, you can never live the life. So He says, come and die the death. Come and deny yourself. Take up your cross. That means put to death, amen, the flesh, and follow Me. Your cross is not how you feel when you're persecuted, when you get a case of the poor old me's and say, woe is me, poor me, I'm just bearing my cross. No, you're not. You're full of self-pity. And you know what the key word to self-pity is? Self. When you deny yourself, there's no room for self-pity because there's no room for self. He said, here's what I want you to do. When they come down hard on you because you're following Me, cast your name out of evil and speak all manner of evil things about you. I want you to rejoice. And I want you to be exceedingly glad. So when I come in here exceedingly glad and dancing before the Lord, say either He's had a wonderful week or the devil's really nailed Him. One way or the other, He's going to shout victory on Sunday morning. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm telling you. Do you think my life is easy street at work and everywhere else and everybody loves the Rev and everybody's just saying, oh, let's just bless Him every way that we possibly can? I heard a preacher the other day says, oh, everywhere I go, I'm blessed. People just give me stuff. Everywhere I go, I just get stuff. I get stuff too. But we have to define stuff. Can you say amen? Stuff happens, amen, to me. And I'm telling you, you look around and you see these people that man is put on a pedestal and man is exalting and they are telling people the Christian life is wonderful. You follow Jesus, amen, you get the cake and the icing and the whipped cream and the cherries. Hallelujah, it's all just a big bundle and God just keeps laying it on you. And I thought, hook Him up with Paul. Just hook Him up with Paul. Just hook Him up with Simon Peter. Peter would look over with a gleam in his eye and say, come on. Where are we going? Amen. We're going over here and preach. Oh, I heard it's dangerous over there. Oh, yeah, it is, but that's okay. Amen. It's all right. It's all right. Amen. If I live, I live to bring Him glory. If I die, He done told me in my death I'll bring Him glory. Whether I live or whether I die, Paul said, I'm the Lord's. Hallelujah. Amen. A prophet came to him and said, bonds and afflictions are awaiting you in Jerusalem. Prophets only know what God shows them. They don't know everything. Can you say amen? So he told him the truth. And I can tell by the way it's worded and the way the prophet spoke, he thought he was giving him a warning. Don't go to Jerusalem. All he was doing was confirming, amen, what Paul already knew. Boy, it's going to be rough when I get down there. They're going to want my hide for preaching the gospel. But God is sending me and I'm fully ready. Listen, amen, how he responded to that. Amen, the prophet said bonds and afflictions await you at Jerusalem. He didn't interpret that as a closed door. He had the unction of the Spirit. He knew it was in God's timing to go in the face of that persecution. And you got to know, because another time he went down the wall in a basket. You got to walk in God's timing. You got to know His will. But one thing for sure, Paul wasn't afraid to lay down his life. Amen. Paul responded this way. He said, I'm not only ready to be persecuted and afflicted for the sake of the gospel, but I am ready long before, amen, that last great epitaph and that last great statement was made. Amen. I'm ready to be offered up. He had been ready for a long time. He said, I am ready to be offered up. Can you say amen? I'm not only ready to suffer persecution, I'm ready to lay down my life here and now for the gospel of Jesus. If by living, I glorify Him, I'll live tomorrow. If by dying, I will glorify Him. I will die tomorrow. But whether I live or whether I die, I'm sold out to Jesus. I am the Lord's. Honey, when they can't head you off, even if they take off your head, that's joy and victory with a capital V. What can you do to a man like that? What can you take from him? You try to take from him, and he'll tell you, take everything I've got. You can't touch the important things. Amen. So you can't take anything. We'll give you all of this if you'll quit following Jesus. He says, you can't give me anything because I have everything in Christ. Amen. Wow. What can you do? What can Satan do with him? Not a thing, but enhance his testimony everywhere he turned around. Amen. Bring more notice to the fact that this faith is an enduring faith that outlasts the storms and the persecutors. Isn't that incredible? I read to you last week about a man standing in the Colosseum looking up at the stars of the sky and feeling overwhelmed with a sense of need to be more devoted to Jesus. Thinking of the people that laid down their life and shed their blood for the sake of the gospel. And how shallow, amen, the church is in many circles. We got to entertain to the hilt. We got to get a high-octane service to hold people's attention. And those people are simply not ready, amen, to suffer anything for the sake of the gospel. They won't suffer a half hour afterglow because that would cramp into their planned day of pleasure. Because we still love pleasure more than we love God. Because we haven't died to self. And we talk about a life that we don't know anything about. Because the only way to find this life in Christ, amen, is to suffer with him. Can you say amen? But if we die the death, we can live the life. And I'm telling you, it's a joyous life. Hallelujah. It is so good. And I have lapses. There's times when I have to get that perspective back. Amen. You're going to have them too. You're going to have struggles with your flesh. Amen. Weak flesh will never conform. So God wants to do something in our spirit that is so fantastic that what we have in him is so fulfilling. We wouldn't give it for anything, even getting back at somebody. Vengeance is whose? Believe it or not, God reserves the right. The Bible said we don't even belong to ourselves anymore. We've got to see ourselves as bought with a price and not our own. Amen. Peter, when you were young, you did your thing. You went where you wanted. You were headstrong, self-willed, independent, presumptuous, strident. But when you're old, you're going to be humble and meek and committed to me. And if it means dying for me to bring me glory, you'll embrace the cross. And he did. And he did. But boy, didn't he live a life. That shaking, vacillating man found a life in Jesus. And it was a powerful life. And it's impacting our lives today. Peter and Paul and these kind of people. That's why we have a faith today. It's men like that, women like that. That's why we have an intact faith today. Because they lived the life. Died the death, lived the life. 1 Corinthians, you won't hear preached on much. It doesn't fit our New Age approach and our selfish approach to the gospel. But it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble we experienced in Asia, 1 Corinthians, first letter to the church at Corinth, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself. Here's the lesson that you learn only by coming to an end of yourself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. How do you learn that lesson? You learn it when you go through things where the flesh comes to an end. And there's nothing you can drag up, pull up, bring up. And you are totally dependent. Now see, you can pivot one way or the other. You can give up on God and question him. Or you can give over to God and cleave to him. And I would encourage you tonight as a Christian to give over to God and cleave to him. Because once you quit confident in the flesh, you can become more dependent on the Spirit for your life. And believe me, when God lives his life through you, there is a victory that you can never achieve trying to pull it off in your flesh. Have you ever tried to love people with a religious brand of love just by your fleshly will? Did you know people can do things to kill that? How many know that love doesn't, your natural ability to love doesn't bear all things, doesn't endure all things. It has limits. I never honk when I see that bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. I don't know if the wife put that on the car or some kid put it on. I don't know. I don't know who's behind the wheel. Amen. There's road rage out there. Wouldn't it be awful for somebody to jump out of the car and come after you because you honked and forgot they put the bumper sticker on? Hey, there's Christians come after you, honey. I've been preaching too long. I had a guy, one night, devil got a hold of him. Amen. We had great fellowship, ate in their home, had a wonderful time, and I saw him in the congregation. I thought, we got a good crowd here tonight. I remember he sat about halfway back, amen, and right in the middle of the service, the anointing was so very strong, and God was there. Amen. Last place I thought I'd find the devil is in somebody that had been going to church and been in their home and shared communion with, and a big old guy, over 200 pounds, jumped up out of the pew. amen, stood right up and hollered to the top of his lungs. I mean, this church-going guy, you know, he hollered to the top of his lungs and said, Brother Venable, you go straight to south of heaven. He didn't use south of heaven. Can you say amen? And then he come running at me. And I was just stood there for, I couldn't believe it. My jaw dropped. Some of the men tackled him. And I thought, Lord, either send the angels or raise up the mighty men of valor in the church. I don't know kung fu. I've never learned self-defense. Amen. A soft answer is the only thing I got. And he ain't going to listen to my soft answer right now. Amen. The man was having problems. The devil got a hold of him. And he run at me. He wanted to hurt me, do me bodily harm. And I thought, my goodness, the devil hides in strange places. Flesh is ugly. And it's fickle. And it puts on facades. And what a possum does, its greatest defense system. You ever heard the term playing possum? You know what it means? Something threatens it, it drops as if it's dead. No need killing me. And you know what religious flesh does on Sunday morning? Until somebody crosses me. Boy, I've had those unguarded moments and felt my anger rise up. And I thought, where did that come from? Last Sunday, I was so dead. Amen. Paul said, I crucify myself. I sanctify myself, which means put to death the flesh and set myself apart to God. You can't do it any other way. Amen. Sanctification and crucifixion go hand in hand. You can't just be so pure this is going to work. You've got to be so dead this is going to work. How often did he do that? I sanctify myself daily. And he said something else too. He said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. All of you that just take the battle to the devil, you got another enemy that's Satan's ally, that he couldn't get any victory over you unless there was an ally to help him. Every man is tempted when he's led away of what? His own lust. Where does that reside? In our old flesh that is uncrucified. Can you say amen? And enticed. So sin when it's conceived, lust conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when finished bringeth forth death. But it all starts in something in us that Satan is appealing to. Can you say amen? All right. So Paul said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. Have you ever seen anybody shatterbox? Amen. You can fight all day long, get war completely out, but never harm your opponent because you're just shatterboxing. You're beating the air. Too many Christians are beating the air instead of dealing with the real enemy. Can you say amen? Amen. Paul said, I don't fight. He said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. I buffet my body. And I bring it into subjection. I know where my real battle lies. And I know the real source of my victory is Christ. But I've got to conquer flesh to defeat the enemy. Amen? So I don't fight as one that beateth you. How many people make a point denying yourself, suppressing what the flesh wants to give way to what you know the will of God is? God will get on your team. The Holy Spirit stands ready to empower us to overcome ourselves. It's a lot easier to blame the devil for everything. You remember when I told you about all the books that came out about deliverance when the church went through this phase of anemia, when we felt like that everything that was wrong with us was the devil. It couldn't be us. So the easiest thing to do was get devils cast out. Because you don't have to crucify the flesh to have someone cast the devil out of you. You can be as ugly as you want to be, but see, it's the devil made me do it. That's Flip Wilson. That's not scripture. Can you say amen? So the whole thing is all about demons and devils. I could tell you stories that are so ridiculous to make you laugh now, but people took it serious. There is demon possession, but real demon possession is not what you see flare up in most church circles. Real demon possession is some real ugly stuff. We had some people go over with us to Haiti, and they'd been dealing with Christians that were bound by the flesh and calling it the devil. Amen. So they were having pretty good success getting people love to blame somebody for their problems. Dying to self is not what your flesh is into. You don't have too many come and die seminars. Can you say amen? When's the last time you heard of someone saying, come and learn how to die to self? We've got 18 tapes. You can get them for just a mere $124. Honey, you couldn't give them away. Church is not into self-denial. Church is into self-aggrandizement, self-gratification. We want a plane and a car and a ministry like that person right there. Nothing wrong with a plane and a car if it gets you where you're going for the sake of the gospel. But you better be committed enough to preach without that plane and without that car. Can you say amen? And your joy better be in Jesus and not the stuff that you get in life. You couldn't follow Paul around the block. The church is not ready for the persecution that's ready for the church in America. In China, they're ready. They're well prepared. Hallelujah. There's victory in the face of all of that persecution in China tonight, because that church got into this thing because of Jesus hanging on a cross. Hallelujah. And when you sell out to Him, you know the joy of His presence in your heart and life, and you wouldn't sell your soul or that presence for anything the world has to offer. And you can't head them off. Hallelujah. So the church is going to do well in China under persecution. It's not the contrary winds against the church that's ever threatened us. It's that nice complacency that brings complacency. And we got a church that don't have to pray and commit to come to church on Sunday morning. We kind of test the wind. See what we do for God. If it's contrary, we better not go that way. Paul said, if it's the will of God, it don't make no difference. Have you ever heard, if the Lord be willing, the creek don't rise? Let me tell you something about when the Lord's willing. It don't matter if the Red Sea is before you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It just doesn't matter if the Lord's truly willing and we're truly submitted to His will. So Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Amen. For the sentence of death dwells in us. We're dying daily to self, so that what may dwell in you. The ministry came through people who were dead to self. That's why you got a Bible that's not mixed with fleshly ideas of men. That's why you got a Bible that's a book of authority and authenticity. Because these people had died to self. And holy men, which meant men who had died to self. Not just men that had great piety, but men who had literally died to self. Holy men spoke when what? When they felt an unction, when they felt a... No, when they were directly, distinctly moved on by the Holy Ghost. God is not going to give that, amen, to people like Demas, who love this present world, who will take everything and look at it through the world lens and twist these sayings and water it down and lower the standard. He's going to give it to men who will speak exactly what the Spirit has to say to the church. Can you say amen? And the only men He would give that to is men that was willing to die for Him on the spot. Because you couldn't trust anybody else with something that important. That's how we got the gospel. People sold out to Jesus. Paul said, I'm not just ready to suffer for Him. I'm ready to die for Him. Make no mistake about it. My life is not mine. If I live, God wills it, I live unto the Lord. If I die the same way. To God be the glory. Now there's a free man. He's free. He's free. I look at people that are in that tension. You're a sad sight. I love you to pieces, but you're a sad sight. Amen? Not enough of God to fulfill you. Too much guilt to enjoy the world full blown for a little season. So somewhere in between is this vacillating Christian life that's so afraid of dying to self so we can live. We won't embrace the cross. Christ says, come and die. Satan shows Him the kingdoms of this world. He says, come and live life to the hilt. And Jesus says, that ain't living. Hallelujah. That's not life. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Can you say, man, is that what Jesus taught? Then the abundant life has little to do with stuff. Those are incidentals. Everybody say incidentals. What you eat, where would you, that's incidental. Your Father knows what you have need of. He knows you need a ride. He knows you need clothes so you don't run around in a rain barrel. Can you say amen? Christians don't go naked. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He knows that you need food for your belly, but He knows you need a fulfilling relationship in Jesus, and He knows you need deliverance from the flesh, and He knows how, amen, to bring you to a place where you don't put confidence in that flesh anymore. Amen. And Paul came to that place, and I'm glad he did. did. Amen. Because after that, amen, he never talked about anything about himself. Everything was about Jesus. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. We don't trust in ourselves. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ and ourselves. You're what? Servant for his sake. Can you say amen? Oh, wouldn't it be good to see preachers that came with a servant spirit, not in a condescending, amen, self-aggrandizing, self-exalting attitude. Amen. But would come with the basin and towel and say, what can I do to help you? What can I do to heal you? What can I do to see you set free so you can serve the living and true God? Can you say amen? Without that death, no life comes. Over 30 years as a pastor, I've never seen anybody have the joy of a missionary sold out to Jesus that just came to church on Sunday and never went any further with God. I love to preach commitment because there's joy in it. The real joy is in it. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, but there was joy set before him. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Oh, church, I don't know what's killing you, but I know God can use it. If you'll quit trusting in you and start trusting in him with all your heart. My heart's been ripped, torn, and broken. I can tell you stories. Some of you know some things, and there's a whole lot you don't know, and I'll never tell. My heart has been ripped. You can't preach for 32 years and not get a broken heart. Can't do it. Jeremiah's heart was so broken because Israel wouldn't listen. They turned on God and turned on him for preaching because a good God wanted to set them free and cover them under the covering of his spirit. And he said his tears made his bed to swim. Got to the point, he said, I wish I was a wayfaring man. I wish I lived way out in the wilderness where nobody came by. Nobody showed up for counseling or anything else. I just wish I could get away from it all. It's not helping God and it's killing me. So what is the point? Amen. But the true test of ministry is what happens when you come to the end of yourself. What's left? He said, in my bones. Everybody say in my bones. I love the anointing. I love the anointing. But I'm going to tell you, if I don't stay sold out to Jesus, I'll get discouraged. And those gifts, just like in Timothy. Timothy didn't have a spirit of fear. He was timid and brokenhearted. He had drawn back because people had went away and left him standing with truth. Are you listening to me? Thank you for the hearty amens. It's the truth. Read your Bible. He didn't have a devil cast out of him. He had his faith reinforced. Paul didn't go cast the spirit of fear out. He said, you got faith. Use it. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Timothy just drew his head in his shell because of the persecution, the disappointment, the discouragement. And that's what makes us draw our head in. Don't matter about the armor or anointings you have or gifts you have. When you're discouraged, you won't use the shield, you won't wield the sword, and you won't walk in the gifts that God has given you. Let every gift operates by the measure of faith. Faith is, when he said stir it up, he's talking about use your faith. Faith was in your grandma. Faith was in your mama. And there's faith in you. Can you say amen? But when you're discouraged, you won't use your faith. We think if we're discouraged, we don't have any. Paul said, no, you can have faith and not use it. Faith is in your spirit. It better not be produced by your emotions. It better be something coming out of your spirit. That's where God put it, is in your spirit. He makes his deposits in your spirit. The outward man perishes, but the inward man. Because that's where God makes his deposit. What happens to that inward man? It renewed day by day. Will you stand with me tonight? I think number one, he lifts me up. I think it's he lifts me up. Selah. One time I was asked, because of the tapes that go out of here, to come and preach to college students witnessing on the University of South Florida campus. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. But where I went to the gym was right by where they were having church. It's 150 on-fire college students preaching the gospel because they were students. Amen, of University of South Florida. And they were meeting together and having church, and I saw them mowing the yard, and I was in my gym clothes, and I got out of my car, and I went over. I didn't identify myself as a minister, and I told them, I said, guys and gals, I just want to tell you that I see this as a church, and I see nothing but people in their early 20s out here, and I am so proud to see young men and women serving Jesus. And they said, well, thank you very much, sir. We really love the Lord. And what is your name? I said, my name is Robert Venable. I said, in fact, I pastor a church not far from here. They said, what's the name of it? What is your name again? I said, Robert Venable. Said, where do you pastor? I said, Holy Church of God. You go down here and we went about 5 miles from the church. And they said, we got your tapes. We got your tapes. And they said, we want you to come back. And we want you to share about following Jesus. Really following Jesus. And I thought, man, I love it when somebody wants to get real and follow Jesus. And I went to an audience, and a guy at the door met me at the door, and I'll never forget. He was, 6 foot something. One of these big football types. He used to be a bouncer in a bar on Dale Mabry. And he's serving Jesus, full out commitment to Christ. And he grabbed me and picked me up. When he picked me up to hug me, to welcome me, my feet came all the way off the floor. And I thought, I'm so glad he's saved. He's such a big guy. Amen. And I went into a receptive, listen to this. Come on, your average Sunday morning audience don't want to hear this. Just tell me how God's going to bless me and send me on my way. But here's a bunch of people that said, tell me how I can make a full-blown commitment. I preached on denying yourself, take up your cross, and follow the Lord. And we had church that night. And I believed, amen. And they said, we've got your tapes, and we played them until we've wore them so thin they're starting to skip. Hallelujah. And I thought, how in the world did my tapes get in their hands? Because I didn't know one of them there. No one was from our church, but God put them in. Why did God put that tape in their hands? Amen. Because they had a heart to really follow God. Can you say amen? See, I'm not preaching just to everybody and anybody. Amen. God is looking for disciples. He didn't just tell us to go build buildings that we're going to call churches. He said, there's one thing I want you to do. Everywhere you meet people with the gospel, make disciples unto me out of every nation that you go into with the gospel. He's looking for followers of Christ, not just people who go to church occasionally. Can you say, man? There's a big difference in following Jesus. And the first step in following Jesus is what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and then come and what? Come and find this life and follow me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second time I was asked to preach because of our standard and commitment in this message of holiness, commitment, was to a singles group and one of a prominent Pentecostal church in town where singles from all kinds of churches, over 200 of them, met for pool parties and barbecues and Bible study. And the leader of the group realized there's a lot of things out here that's not right. How many know illicit sex among Christian singles is not right? Uncommitted lives to Christ, just going to meet people and have a party. If you're looking for a mate, don't think just because they go to church that they're necessarily the first kind of person that you want to hook up with. They need to be a follower of Jesus if you hook up with them. Can you say amen? Come on, folks. There's a lot of church-going people that are not followers of Jesus. Jesus said there would be, and there are. So I came with a challenge from the Word. I was so excited coming out of that group of young people that wanted to embrace the cross and follow Him. I thought these adults, these young adults and older adults, they've already come through that stage. They're ready for this message. They're ready to say, yes, let's really become radical for Jesus. The coldest, deadest service I've ever been in all of my preaching life was in that church. Every one of those people was in church somewhere on Sunday morning. Some singing in the choir. Some teaching Sunday school. Some with positions. Amen. They were all there on Sunday morning playing the game. But don't you dare hit me with commitment. Honey, we have lowered the standard to get Sunday school teachers. We've lowered the standard to get song leaders. We've lowered the standard to get musicians. As long as the show goes on, it don't seem to matter how many of those people are following Jesus. And young Christians that may grab this faith and run with it are seeing the wrong example in church on Sunday morning. Amen. The young are supposed to be teaching. The older ones are supposed to be teaching the younger by example. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Folks, I don't even want to be part of anything if we can't preach this gospel, a Christ that is worth everything in order to possess and in order to follow. Can you say amen? I refuse to preach a devalued gospel. I refuse to preach a Christ that doesn't hold this great worth. My Jesus is worth your everything. The Jesus I preach is worth your all. I will not preach, amen, a cheap grace and a bargain basement gospel in order to build a building of stone and stained glass and call it a church. The real church can take the heat. The real church is not afraid of persecution. The real church is authentic, and the real church was given a message when it was persecuted. And here's the message. Satan is going to put some of you in prison. And some of you, surely he will instigate them to put you to death. Here's your encouraging message. And you've got to, I've already embraced the cross for this to encourage your heart. You know what his message was? But just put no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and put it on your refrigerator. And when you get up in the morning, bless God, you walk up to that refrigerator and say, ain't nothing going to hurt me because God with me and I'm on God's sheep. Boy, wouldn't that have been great? Those poor, ignorant apostles. All they had to do was get the tape. Tens of thousands of people tune into a guy that said Paul could have used his faith to live a full, rich life. He decided not to use it, but I'm going to use mine, hallelujah. I thought the audacity. Someone who's never sacrificed anything in comparison to Paul. To talk about the man that God moved on to write 13. I'm glad he wasn't one of them. Talk about loving this present world. And yet here's what the Christian world is after. This is the spirit-filled bunch that don't have no discernment. I'm not talking about discerning of spirits. That's a spiritual gift. I'm talking about discernment. That's a sign of maturity. What phony stuff. My message to them was be faithful unto death, and the Lord will give you a crown of life. And because they were living for heaven and not for earth, they were not afraid even when that kind of persecution came. And they died for the faith. And they died in great victory. And the world that spurned them was not even worthy of them. Now eternal life is not even worth giving up a relationship that with someone in this world for. Eternal life, that crown that assures that you won't go to hell but you'll live with God forever, that crown of life. The Bible warned us about that. Don't let any man steal your crown. It's not worth saying no to our flaky worldly friends to follow Jesus over. He just ain't worth it. Life eternal is not worth that. There's where the value is. The value is in the here and the now and the moment. We're so caught in time, we don't live for eternity. Paul was so caught up in eternity, he didn't even live in time anymore. He said these light afflictions which are but for a moment, work for us something eternal in glory. Hallelujah. I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Halabashilabada. And surely there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And not me only, but every one of them who love His appearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a church. What a Jesus. What a ministry flowed out of those lives that were sold out to God. Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's a win-win. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say it's a win-win. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.